are starting with episode 3 of season 3. Today it is your host, as always, the poor guy who stumbles across words, Game Goblin. Sitting also in the room with me is...
Kazurkan, the Lord Dragon.
Moniker, welcome to our Aztec Death Wish Whistle Special.
And I am Darth Blasphemous.
Anyway, today we're going over naming conventions in role-playing. And Aztec Death Whistles, because those things are fucking awesome.
Dude, I want like 3.
I know, right? If I had 3 sets of lungs.
Put one of those in the back of someone's car exhaust.
Hell yeah. Intro.
Feeling tired at the gaming table? Want to hear foul-mouthed jackasses poke fun at gaming companies when they screw up? Want an honest, street-level opinion from a team of gamers that call it like it is? Then Blunt Force Gamers may be the podcast for you.
Listener discretion advised.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about naming conventions and stuff in today's episode, and I just kind of want to make a character whose name is Aztec Death Whistle. It's so damn cool.
Yeah, I was telling everybody about some of my heritage.
So we're going over naming conventions, and I do have a few things to say about naming conventions, especially concerning player characters who have a tendency to do stuff like name their characters dumb joke names like Long Dong. We've all been there. There's always that one guy, One Hung Low.
Oh, yes, the Great Monk Warrior.
The Great Monk Warrior Hung Low, and everybody's like, the fuck, dude, we're supposed to be running a serious campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Now, joke names in a not-so-serious campaign? Cool. Legit. I can work with that, because not-serious campaigns are just there to be mood lifters. But when the GM is running a horror campaign, or a drama campaign, or a murder mystery, or Call of Cthulhu...
Who in their right mind would go into a Call of Cthulhu game and name their kid Dick Longson?
Or Mike Hunt? We've all been there.
There's also Mike Hawk.
Mike Hawk, yeah. But of course, the ever-so-classic Richard in any sort of combination. You know, Richard Surprise, Richard Cox.
Richard Harrington?
Yeah. Yeah, they're no. Leroy Jerkins.
Right.
Yeah, whatever. So, when it comes to naming conventions, you know, joke names, in my personal opinion, as a game master, and even as a player, I held back, but as a game master, when somebody pulls a joke name in one of my games, I'm just like, thanks, dude, because I just didn't put 3 months worth of work and planning just to kick off this game for you to kill it all with one character because you wanted me to have a stupid fucking name.
In my defense, Floyd is also my great-grandfather's name. So I had a character named Floyd, and he loved the color pink. It was a small thing, but it's a legit name.
Subtle jokes are one thing. You know, like, if you make a Nosferatu character for Vampire the Masquerade and name him Busu, that's a subtle joke. Not everybody's going to get it. And it's kind of like the guy we were talking to at the convention a couple months back, you know, with the Knight of Sporks, but he had a completely different name for Spork, and it's, like, super uncommon. Most folks don't know what the word is. I forgot what it is already, so...
I mean, heck, you gave me the NPC Peck-Peck.
Peck-Peck also was a joke, because it was meant to be a one-shot, and anybody who speaks Filipino languages will know that Peck-Peck is, yeah, that's a joke.
Yeah.
I might as well just call him Bakla. Or Putagina.
Didn't you have a character on a video game that was Set-Set?
Yes, I did have a character on Final Fantasy... Was that 13?
Final Fantasy Fuck.
Yeah, Final Fantasy Fuck. It was the bad one of the two. It was the first one. It was a decent game, and mechanically it had some good variables to it. Like, you could have your primary class and then your secondary class.
You're talking Guild Wars.
No.
13.
No, I'm talking Final Fantasy.
Well, I know you.
Because I went Black Mage, and then my secondary was White Mage. But yes, because he was a black mage, and I was specifically focusing on necromancy spells, I named him Set-Set after the African Set-Set fly. But that's an online game. That's not me, you know, sitting around with a GM who's put months worth of work into a game, because online gaming is a complete different naming variable, and I've seen some really good names. My favorite still so far is from EverQuest, Orville Mezen Buffer. I seriously laughed for like an hour. I saw that name, I walk up, I gave the dude some plat, and I'm like, thank you for the laugh, dude. But we did that also in online games. A friend of mine, he made a druid character. He couldn't think of a name. And so I pulled out a Lakota Sioux to English dictionary. I'm all flipping through the book, and I'm like, well, how about Taniga? And he's like, well, what does that mean? I'm like, oh, Taniga means beast. man, not many people out there speak Lakota Sioux, so Beast worked just fine. So he named his character Taniga, because it sounds like a feminine name anyway. To, you know, modern interpretations, most female names end with an I or an A sound. And he's like, well, I'm good. And when he got to level 20, he's like, well, shit, I need a last name. And I'm like, I already got you covered, dude. And I opened the book to a page I already had listed off, and I'm like, your character's name is Taniga Wamakasan. And he's like, well, what does Wamakasan mean? And I'm like, entrails. Your character's name literally translates to beast guts. And that was a subtle joke. Nobody else really got it. But to him, it was giggle-worthy, because every time he logged in as Druid, he was playing beast guts. And I think in the 4 or 5 years we played our characters, only one person, like, pointed his character out, gave a lol, good one, and then ran away.
On that topic, I think one of the best ones I've heard is when you told me years ago, goddamn, I can't remember for what MMO it was, No, I think it was for Elder Scrolls. You make a white Khajiit and you named him Shoshan.
Oh, no. Shoshan was in EverQuest 2.
Okay, that was
EverQuest 2, I made a Khajiit. They're not called Khajiit in EverQuest. It's a Vashir.
Kitty people.
They're kitty people, whatever. I don't know, dude. Like, EverQuest 1, they were Vashir, and then the next one, they were Karens, which was weird. But, yeah, I made one that was white. He was a tiger, and I named him Shoshan. Also a subtle joke to the White Tiger King, and if anybody who's ever watched Whitest Kids You Know, it's a great video to watch. It's super racist, but funny, because they call themselves out on it. So I did that one. I also did, in Elder Scrolls, I named the lizard folk, Argonian, yes. I made him blind in the right eye, which is bad to start with, and I was going for an archer build and named him Licks the Windows. But the thing is, in MMOs, you can do this sort of stuff, and it's funny as hell.
Yeah.
People love it when you make a gag name. Like, I actually stole Orville Resinbuffer's name and made a medic in Star Wars here recently named Orville Resinbuffer. Because, I'm sorry, dude, but Orville Resinbuffer was such a cool dude to run into, and I was laughing so hard. I had to pay tribute to the name, dude.
Yeah, keep the legacy going.
Keep the legacy alive. And in MMOs, naming conventions get kind of thrown out the window, except for things like, god damn it, Drizzt clones. It's the one thing I hate in both MMOs and pen and paper games, is when somebody makes a character, you know, I get it, you're a fan. Imitation's the highest form of flattery and everything, but when you see, like, 12 of them in one day.
Or, you know, heavens forbid, 50.
Yeah, it's... Can you come up with something new, please? You know, I'd rather see, you know, Papa Smurf Bear Poisonberry or something. I don't know. Something different.
Smurf Poisonberry.
Smurf Poisonberry. There you go. There's a good Dark Elf name. Congratulations. That's compliments of the Blunt Force Gamers.
Yeah, I feel like I don't have much room to be indignant here, because the character, name of my character for the campaign I'm in with Blasphemous here, I named him Laurentius Lothric. And anyone who's ever played 5 minutes of Dark Souls will call me out on that bullshit pretty fast.
Well, actually, speaking about the game, when you guys were telling me about your characters and whatnot, oh my god, we're going to do this 3 episodes in a row.
Wait, you used my real name. You slipped.
I have an edit button. You forgot I got an edit button, so I'm going to go back and people are going to go, what? Oh, that explains the beep, beep, beep. So when Blasphemous was running his game, and Jiggles was telling me his character's name Crixus, which he also pulled from modern media, which is actually the name of a real historical person. I have no problem with that. One, it's a very unused name. Two, if I ever had a son, am I going to toss up right now whether it be Crixus or Fenris? So there's personal investment in that. I'm still leaning towards Fenris, because if my kid's a bitey one.
Born with teeth.
Born with teeth, little bitey little bastard. That'd be my boy. But at the same time, it's a historically accurate name. And even though he pulled it off of Spartacus, Blood and Sand, or whichever one, I don't care. It's a good name to have. Yeah. It's not lore-breaking. It's historically accurate. It's something he enjoys. And even if somebody calls him out, they can't really call him out, because it's not a goofy-ass name.
Yeah. It's like, hey, I recognize that name.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. Hey, I recognize that name. Okay, done. Fair.
Hey, I know your face.
But some of the games that I've done only a few gag names, but I've never really been invested in the characters, and I've gotten rid of them. And a gag name to me, when a player makes a character with a gag name, I look at it from my own experience that they're not as invested in that character as the GM or other players are.
Yeah.
You know, and I've made gag characters before. I'll make a character and I'll give a gag stupid name or whatever, or just base the entire character off a name, you know, Ballbuster the Amazing, and then Ballbuster the Amazing really isn't that much fun of a character to play beyond the name. Yeah. Yay, and I'm not really that invested. So when I'm running a game and somebody walks up and they're like, yeah, my character's name is Mike Litteris, I'm just like, seriously, dude, re-roll or I'll re-roll you entirely in real life. Just,
Yeah, time and place for everything.
There is.
Yeah. And, you know, we should make the important distinction here. A name that is a reference, obscure and far off, is very different than a deliberately gag name, like Mike Litteris. Versus something like, I had a character for one of the games I was in with Goblin, and I kind of subtly, not very subtly, you know, stole nomenclature from StarCraft. Which, you know, was a lot of fun. But as the character's story developed, I was, you know, pulling more references to it. It was still, you know, a little bit of an inside joke for me. I was getting a mild giggle out of it. And it was still a serious enough name that nobody could really call me on it. So there is a difference between making a reference and making a dick joke.
Yeah.
There's also, when you're making characters too, and it's really interesting, like, I'll be making characters. Say if I make a Azamar, and I decide, oh, I'm going to make this Azamar a holy warrior. You know, when you're doing naming and stuff, one of the best things to do, and again, I cannot stress this enough, blank pieces of paper laying around in your backpack or your toolbox, you know, or in a drawer or something, are your best friends. Because one of the things that I'll be doing, like, is I'll make a character and I'll have some papers off to the side, or I'll even save a name when I'm playing an MMO, as I'll make a throwaway character just to save the name for later. And if I'm making an Asimar Holy Warrior, chances are in one of these pieces of paper somewhere, you know, in my character build books, I'll have a name that's perfect. But if I'm sitting there trying to come up with a name on the fly, I'm like, what if I call him Davoth? You know, that sounds like a pretty good name, right? But does a name like Davoth sound like a holy warrior Azamar? Or does it sound more like an infernal worshipper? You know, so when you're doing naming conventions, names are really important to help you keep grounded in the concept of your character. So if I make it, say, even a normal human who happens to be, you know, a bit of a necromancer, Davoth would work a lot better for him than Davoth, the holy Azamar warrior.
I think on the opposite end, just kind of one of the things that makes me kind of ugh a little bit is when people try and get a little too artsy-fartsy with their names, you know, going Facus Latinius, you know, in that kind of direction.
Yeah, Facus Latinius.
Or someone names a druid. Like, I'm impressed when I see, like, a druid name that doesn't include the word raven somewhere in it, you know?
Or wolf.
Yeah, raven or wolf in it. It's like, there's other creatures.
You know,
my druid's name is Raven Wolf. Thank you.
And my character's a Wiccan, not a druid.
Right. And, like, another thing to keep in mind about a name is a name tells a story. A name tells a story. And that is the story up to the point where you can make decisions and talk on your own. Your parents gave you a name, and that name shapes the world for you. Like, one of my characters for the, if you've ever heard of it, Ruby, or WBY. In that world, all the names are references to colors, somehow. So I named him Titus Moral, which is a reference to titanium gold and emerald. And then I'm just kind of, as I kept stewing on it, I was like, you know, that's a wedding band material. His parents named him after their wedding band.
Oh, that's cool.
Right?
I like that a lot. It's a
cute little thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, just from that reaction, it tells enough of the story that it puts depth behind it.
Yeah. See, I'm not very original, which is why, don't mean to deviate, but I'm not original. So that's why I play orcs, because their naming conventions are really straightforward.
Ugrag Sholbaroth.
Gruk Face Ripper. Gee, I wonder why he's called that.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, as I did a similar thing to Kazrakan years ago, and nobody really caught on to it, as I was playing a sorceress, and her name was Riley. Pretty simple, isn't it? Riley, a sorceress. But I also made her bloodline aberrant, and she specialized in spells that were transmutations or mental spells. Hmm. Those were her two primary spell categories she went after before anything else. Transmutations and mind-bending spells. And, of course, one of the camp players looked over, you know, over my shoulder when I was doing some shit with my character sheet, and he noticed Riley's name was spelled R-Y-L-E-H. Riley. So her name was a Cthulhu reference, and like the entire character build was a Cthulhu reference with transmutation spells. She's Aberrant's bloodline, and she with Aberrant's bloodline, you know, she does all sorts of weird, crazy shit. So I was basically doing like a Deep Ones kind of concept. Like she was, and her race too was half-breed. She was like half hag or something like that. Changeling, that was the race. And so with the changeling race, she's half foul abomination already. So it was a total play on things. But yeah, when I was running around with the other characters and stuff with a charisma of 18, whee! You know, all they see is this cute, adorable girl with dollish features, but they don't realize that, you know, behind that is the facade of madness.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, she just introduced herself as Riley. Because again, when you're looking at the Cthulhu mythos, it's actually legit lore. We don't know how to pronounce any of this. Like, when somebody says Riley or Rila.
Or Rila.
Or Rila.
Or whatever.
Or whatever. It, no matter what, it's actually in canonized that no matter how you pronounce it, you're always pronouncing it wrong and you're always pronouncing it right at the same time. No matter how you pronounce Cthulhu, it's the right pronunciation because we as humans with our meager little skin flaps can't get it right.
Yeah.
We just don't have the right vocal intonation capability.
So, ironically, calling herself Riley and having her name spelled like that is canonically correct in the Cthulhu mythos.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah. But nobody even noticed it. And that's how you get away with a joke name or you do a name that builds a theme for the rest of your character.
Yeah.
Is subtlety.
Yeah.
And the same goes with when you're GMing, too, is you got to be subtle when you name. For example, Blasphemous called out Peck Peck earlier. Peck Peck sounds like a goblin name. And not many people that I know are getting chummy or have friends that are Filipinos. So they're not going to catch on to it real quick. But if there was a Filipino dude in the group, he would have been laughing his ass off the entire game session. Garen fucking T.
Use languages to your advantage.
Yeah, use languages to your advantage. I can make a character who's, let's say, the characters visit a brothel, okay? You're playing a character, and Castrocan's playing a character. Blasphemous is off in the kitchen right now, apparently, but he's playing a character, too. And your character's going to a brothel to gather information.
Yeah, gather information.
Gather information. Okay, quotation marks there.
You need dick figures.
And also, need to get some components.
Yeah, need to get some components and some extra cream for breakfast. Yeah. Anyway, your characters go in there and say the person you need to speak to is Madam Choi. That that sounds kind of like an Asiatic name, doesn't it? You know, you really wouldn't suspect much. So you walk in, you speak to Madam Choi, who happens to be, you know, a little flirty. She's the stereotypical madam. She gives you the information you need. You pay her off the gold and you go your own happy way. The thing is I'm using subtlety and naming conventions to my benefit because behind the GM screen, I would probably be laughing my ass off if I pulled something like that because her name in Cambodian would be Madam Fuck.
Appropriate.
Appropriate, right? Yeah. Totally appropriate. So yeah, your characters go in, you meet Madam Fuck, you pay her some information, but during the entire game session, I just tell you she's Madam Choi. So the players are completely oblivious, and you know, it should go the other way around too. The player makes a gag name. If it's an inside joke between them or maybe them and one other player, that's totally fine. But, you know, when they go, oh, my character is Mike. Literus.
Yeah.
You know, that. It's game-breaking for everybody when you make it too blatantly obvious.
Yeah, and, like, I mean, I don't have anything against anyone, honestly, you know, like I said earlier, using, you know, Raven or Wolf something in their name. But it's just, like, be a little creative about it, you know what I mean? Like, a little original, I guess.
Yeah, originality in D&D, you're asking for a lot.
Yeah.
Right?
I know.
There's no way to be truly original because think of how many people play and how many people have just tried stuff before.
Well, that and it's the most racist class of game known out there, really.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But like druid names, for instance.
Yeah.
I have a really good example.
You guys are druids, man. You're taking me to a bad place. Keep going.
Ursa Kodiak. I know you've looked at this character.
Oh, that name just, I can.
Ursa Kodiak had, she had Ursa and Bear in her stat set like 6 times.
Bear.
Bear with the bear companion who is also a bear.
I'm surprised she didn't add Kumo into that as well. Like, I would Ursa Kodiak Kumo.
Yeah. I think I cracked a joke at her when I was introduced to the character. I'm like, so it's Kumaception? She just busted out laughing because I caught the reference.
Hey.
But,
well, you know, she was a druid, so I guess, you know, sometimes she was also known as Running Bear.
I would not be surprised. I didn't actually see that occur. But that's...
Old Indian joke is old.
You know, I think maybe, you know, like sometimes, don't try and make your, like if your character's name has like a title in it, don't try and make it sound overtly badass, you know what I mean? Or like, I mean, if you look at like actual old Viking names, you know, you had guys who are named like, you know, Ivar the Boneless. And I know, like, Viking show, yeah, he was so badass. But come on. What would you picture of someone named Ivar the Boneless, you know?
Yeah.
Or Sigurd Snake in the Eye. Like.
Or Fuckhead Ironsides.
Yeah, like, the most legendary Viking of them all, Ragnar Lothbrok. His name literally translates Ragnar Shaggy Pants.
Yeah. like Ragnar Hairy Legs or some shit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, you know, maybe give your character kind of like a goofy name up front, but, you know, maybe you could work a story, like a cool story as to why he's called that, you know?
Well, it's not just that. You know, I mean, like, Ragnar is a really good one for naming conventions, especially when the other people don't know what the fuck it means. It goes right back to using foreign languages to your advantage.
Yeah.
Like, if I was in the Viking era and some dude, you know, comes up to me and they tell me, oh, this is Ragnar Lothbrok, I have no idea what that means. For all I know, he's Ragnar Skullsplitter.
Yeah.
You know?
Or, like, I mean, even another example, like, Harold Godwinson, you know, that's what most people know him by, but I've heard some historians say that, you know, Godwinson, his name probably might have actually been Harold Goodwineson, because I think his father was actually like a brewer.
Like a vintner.
Yeah, yes. I'm not totally sure about that, so don't quote me, but, you know, it's not an overtly badass name. His name is Goodwineson, you know, kind of a little...
Yeah, little tip hat.
Yeah, yeah, so...
The naming conventions go both ways, too, especially, and I'm, of course, the ancient relic GM here, so when a GM is building character names or NPC names, they should also keep this in mind. Like, the last few examples I gave, Pac-Pac or Madam Choi, these are inside jokes for the GM, and they do not break lore, because if a GM gets too involved in breaking the lore of their game, they're like, this is a serious campaign, high fantasy, high stakes, your character could die at any moment, and in walks Snugglebottom, the half-orc. Well, how are the players going to react to Snugglebottom?
Yeah.
It's just, they're going to laugh, and you just completely killed the entire theme and mood for your game. So,
yeah.
As a GM, you've also got to keep in mind, but again, you can't get too crazy evil about it. You know what I mean? If they run into Skullface Skullsplitter constantly, and every guy's got a really cool, badass name, it's kind of hamming it up a little bit too much.
Dark Sword Skullfucker.
Oh, great. Dark Sword Skullfucker II, the Emperor to the Throne of Badassery. Just what we need.
Yeah, precisely.
Well, thanks for announcing me, guys.
I mean, when it comes to naming conventions, a big thing is trying to be serious, but another thing is don't be afraid to pull names that are familiar. You know, like what I do. I'd steal from a lot from Magic the Gathering. Because they sound awesome.
Yeah, and
that's what a good team of writers can do. Yeah.
And I like, you know, some of my favorite naming conventions that I've seen, and yes, I say this as a huge Dark Souls fanboy, but, you know, sometimes I personally feel a little burnt out on the, you know, like what you would think of as, like, a fantasy name, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, when I got into Dark Souls, and they had names, you know, that weren't overly like that, like, you know, you had characters like Big Hat Logan or Mild Mannered Pate, you know, very just kind of simple names. But then when you saw these characters, it, to me, in a way, it just made them more interesting because it's, their names were so subtle. And then the more you learned about them, it's like, oh, you know, because I feel like when you had this overtly fantastical, is that a word? Anyway, yeah. Fantastical. Yeah. Fantastical name. It has an air of grandiose to it, and so you kind of expect that grandiose from the get-go with these characters, you know?
Actually, it kind of reminds me of another one going back on Vikings here. But historically, there was one that was known as the baby lover.
Oh, God. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And of course, if you ever met this guy, he would scare the crap out of you because he loved babies because he would let the ones that he didn't hit live. But the other ones, the guy, when they were going up and down France, just raiding it like it's their own personal 7-Eleven, he would take children and fling them in the air and then try to baseball bat swing at them. And if they hit the ground and he missed, he would just let them live. Hence why they called him the baby lover.
Yeah.
Yeah, so sometimes names do not always mean what you think they will mean either. I mean, like, in today's standards, especially with all the crap going on in Hollywood, you'd think a guy known as the baby lover would should be thrown in jail immediately. Get party banned immediately.
Yeah.
However, in the case of Viking era France, that was not the case. You know, the name was actually more of a joke at that point in time.
Yeah. Yes,
ironic names are great, too.
Ironic names are great, too. One of the other things, though, and I'm sorry to steamroll this segment real quick. One of the other things as a GM and a player that I've seen that I do not like is when somebody makes fun of another person's character name.
Yeah.
Blatantly makes fun of it. I mean, pulling somebody aside and being like, look, dude, this name is stupid because it breaks the lore. You know, the GM has put a lot of work into it. The characters, the players put a lot of work into their characters. And you're just, you know, bucking the curve to be edgelord.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing. But the other is like to wait till the game goes on and be like, oh, Ursa, Kodiak, Bear Butt, and pull out all the bear jokes you can, or start calling them comrade constantly, like needle at them. Yeah. That's pushing, that's too far.
It becomes unbearable at that point, you know?
You're in a real hairy situation.
Oh, let's not come around with this. All right.
I'm just going to go hibernate over here while you guys talk.
All seriousness, like, when you're crossing that barrier and you're poking fun at a character, you're poking fun at the person behind it as well. And that's just bad table etiquette, period.
Especially if you don't know them that well, you know?
Yeah.
But if it's like an old buddy and you guys have a repertoire about this,
yeah,
that's one thing. But that's rare enough as it is nowadays with trying to game, because your good old buddies might have real life aggro, or you might have real life aggro, and you got to go adulting for a while.
Yeah, fucking adults ruining everything. But this, you know, we can cycle back to another naming culture on the subject of titles. Mm-hmm. A title is given for a specific set of moments, right? Let's start with Torvar the Snake Tire. How did you get the name Snake Tire? It tells a story of one particular moment in their life.
Yeah,
where in order to survive a snake, they literally, you know, tied the thing to its own tail so that it could not be biting someone else. Or some other, you know, weird story, like Berry Picker.
So, going on your logic, I can be known as Goblin Ass Hammer. Hey, they had squeaky hammers at the $1 store. Those things are a lot of fun to run up behind people and bop them in the butt with. So technically, I could be Goblin Ass Hammer. Because they were shaped like hammers anyway.
Right.
But again, like Kazar Khan was just saying, that would be a title that I would earn from, based off of a specific moment where somebody who's got a big mouth and caught me running around with squeaky hammers, bopping people in the butt, and be like, hey, that's Goblin Butt, you know, Ass Hammer.
Yeah. Yeah. And all of a sudden you're stuck with a nickname that you might or might not like, you know, about yourself. It's just like rumors and what have you.
I'd be glad to be known as Goblin Ass Hammer.
I'm sure you would.
That would be like a studly name for a goblin to have.
Hell Goblin Ass Hammer.
Hail Goblin Ass Hammer.
Chieftain of the clan.
King of Clan McFerguson of the Fergusons.
Right. And you know, now that we're bringing up clans, you can bring nomenclature into the clans. Like, you know, some of the playable races, like dwarves, goblins,
elves,
gnomes.
Always watch yourselves around elves.
Mm-hmm. Especially when they're undead.
Doesn't matter. Elves in general. The only good elf is a dead elf.
Dude, I don't think the Phoenix would care.
I'm talking about all elves, dude. Screw them all. And I don't care if they're D&D elves or Elder Scrolls elves. All of them have to go.
Punch the Eldar.
Or even the Eldar.
Fuck those guys.
But, you know, what is the family known for? Like, silversmith. Lothar Silversmith. of the
Lothar.
Of the Anvil clan or something. Mm-hmm. Well, why are they called silversmith? They were jewelers.
Yeah.
Or something like that. It, you know, a name tells a lot about a person and the people around them for choosing a name like that.
Ah, yes, I'm familiar with the old silversmith family. They make the finest cod pieces in all the land. Made of the most shiny metals you can imagine. And they're really big in the front.
For when you need the extra padding.
Extra padding or extra cargo space.
Well, you know, when you get that disease.
I'm just picturing...
Elephantitis is not a disease. It's a blessing.
I'm just picturing the giant diamond-crusted codpiece from, you know, fucking Metalocalypse. That Burger Face 4.
Oh, Metalocalypse. Stay classy.
Planet Pish. But yeah, as far as naming stuff goes, I mean, like my main character that I love to try and tweak and perfect, his name is Azuri Riss. Azuri and Riss are two elves from Magic the Gathering. Pretty powerful cards, right? And one of them doubles tokens in his better form. The other one, I forget what the other one does. He's Riss, or it's Azuri after the Phyrexians took him. They're pretty powerful cards.
Oh, actually, that brings me to a topic then. If we're going to be talking about Magic the Gathering and
naming
conventions for both characters, players, and GMs and NPCs and all that crap, how subtle was my idea? And I'll explain it to the listeners here. My idea was for a sorceress, typical stereotype dragon-blooded fire mage, who also happened to be, you know, really good with the charisma and manipulation of other people, so really good social skills with diplomacy and intimidate and whatnot, and say for also to balance it out, a really good intellect stat. So we're going charisma, intelligence, and wisdom as the primaries. And for the dragon-blooded sorceress, I was going to name her Nicole. Now, was that subtle or was that too overt? What would you say, Blasphemous?
I'd say it's definitely running at the border. I think we need to build a wall there. You know, just to hedge that one off at the gate.
Why build a wall? Landmines work too.
True.
Yeah, so basically the whole character concept was Nicole, Bolas.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dragon-blooded, but I'd do a sorceress, so it'd be like Nicole Bolas going through the teen angst years as a girl.
Now, see, I thought you were making a Cole reference.
Oh, man, I thought that too.
Well, only if they became a king, and they were known as the Nat.
God damn it.
So Nicole's nickname would be Nat, and she would eventually become king of Cole.
We're getting punny tonight.
Like, oh, yes. Very punny. Triple pun.
They're punnificating.
Really are we really just clawing these out now?
Punt-a-kill.
Punt-a-kilt.
Punt-alicious.
Puntacular.
Pun-pun. I made reference to the most powerful D&D character I ever made. Yeah.
Don't we have the rest of a podcast to pontificate on?
I guess.
Man, y'all just keep playing with your words.
I'm sorry, but I'm eating alphabet soup right now. I'm just taking one letter at a time. I'll eat a vowel, please.
I'd like to solve the puzzle.
The puzzle is delicious. All right, I think our listeners want us to get back on naming conventions.
Before the audience checks out.
Before the audience checks out.
So, I mean, when it comes to naming stuff, I do like the whole thing of use other languages, translate stuff back and forth, see what you come up with. I mean, I am totally not afraid to, because I'm not making any money off my gaming or anything like that. I'll just steal names from other stuff. You know, I don't see any problem with people using names that are known in any way, shape, or form. I mean...
Even Drizzt?
Yeah, sure. Be weary of flaming cows from the sky.
Rocks fall, all the Drizzt die.
It's a lot of rocks.
That's like plane of earth rock fall, you know? It's like an entire plane made of stone falls on you.
Well, like, jeez. At that point, the simpler explanation is you find a hole, like a hole starts opening in the sky, and the planal barrier is torn.
I don't mind players, you know, paying homage to something they like, even though, in my opinion, it's kind of lackluster. It's not very imaginative to recreate a creation already made by somebody else. The whole point of role-playing, including the name of your character, is to be someone you're not and to be original about it. I mean, beyond that, I really can't explain it.
Yeah, it's like if, you know, if you... I feel like, you know, if you make your character's name a direct reference, it just implies that character's going to try and be that already established character.
Yeah, you know? They're going to try to be somebody else. So if you make a Drizzt character, it's obvious you're going to try to make them a Dark Elf Ranger as much as possible and get animal companions. And it's not really all that creative. And
yeah.
The other players know to expect that if you're playing a character with that sort of name, you're going to spend half the game session brooding or running off to be a loner.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. It kind of tells the other players what to expect, but if you play a character, you know, that you've made on your own, and they pretty much start as a tabula rasa from game one, they got their name, they got their stats, you got some backstory for them, but you really haven't developed a personality for that character because the name you've created is original.
Yeah.
So with that, you have a lot more wiggle room to introduce your character to the other player characters and grow inside of the game and go your own path.
Yeah.
Rather than take a path that's already been forged by someone else.
Mm-hmm.
The path less traveled, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot going into naming, like culture. Culture has a lot of naming going into it. I know Goblin's been really good about the naming cultures for certain nations that have been put through his world. Like, Aram had very different names than Mujitabo.
Well, yeah, because they were very separate regions. I was basing that off of different countries, how countries would have naming conventions. And Mujitabo was based mostly off of Central to Western Asia, mostly Mongolian languages with a smattering of Chinese.
Yeah.
And Aram was mostly like Italian names and moving more towards for Earth-based naming, kind of into the Balkan Mountains kind of region, a little bit more Transylvanian mixed with Italian. Yeah. So yeah, the naming conventions between both countries was radically different. So that's another thing to pay attention to for player characters or GMs, is to really make your regions pop, is names alone will set it apart. If I create an NPC, bring him in the game, and you know their name was Choi Lee Foot, you would automatically think that a person with a name like that would be more likely from Mujitabo than they would be a Ram.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're world building, naming, you know, a character with a specific name or title can actually indicate what region they're from and give player characters, you know, as they learn about the world, something to expect. You know, so if I made a character whose naming convention was wildly off the bar, it would leave you guys in suspense wondering,
yeah,
you know, where is this person from? But if their naming conventions sounded more like something from Aram, you guys would suspect that would be the point to go to. So if I was developing a murder mystery story, and the bad person who you're supposed to investigate has a name that sounds Aramish or even Osinian, you would start at those regions as far as looking, and that's a great lead-in for a GM when they're using naming conventions,
yeah,
is a GM can see where he wants the players to look first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a subtle maneuver, but it works in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
Not that I would name a character Choi Lee Foot, because that's a martial art. And it's a martial art that makes me laugh, because it's got the word Choi in it.
T-E.
T-E!
And for those of us who struggle a bit more with naming things, there are, you know, there are slews of name generators out there.
Donjon.com. Not endorsed by or sponsored by anything, but hey, Donjon is awesome, and I turned Kazer Cat. No, it was you who turned me on to that one, wasn't it?
I might have turned you on to Fantasy Name Generator, because I think you turned me on to Donjon.
I don't know, but yeah, there's a lot of name generators out there, so...
And they're really good.
There are. There's tons of them, so as a GM, you can sit there and just click a couple of buttons to get a name. You got them on your iPhone nowadays, or your Droid.
Take the first letter of your first name. Take the monthly report.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and like on the subject of naming can also lead into language. Like, I know, I've seen a picture scrolling around the world that a player had built a random insult generator using Dwarvish as the base kind of concept tree.
Oh, I used to have that one. It was like, anvil-dropping, thumb-smashing elf kisser.
Yeah, you string together like two or three of these, and all of a sudden you've got this sentence of something that sounds bad to a dwarf. That sounds kind of comedic when taken out of that context.
Soot bearded thumb smasher.
Knifeier lover or
knifeier lover.
I love that. There's all sorts of them, but like you can do this with any given in-world language. If you've got a starting reference, then you can figure out what sort of insults would also be part of that. And as part of that, you can also put an insult in the name of a character. Someone who's looked down upon, like in dwarf culture, say,
you can do
Rocknack the Soft Bearded.
Oh, you just... Oh my god, dude. Did you just pull Grognak out of your bed? Oh, that poor guy. Poor Grognak.
Right? Now all of a sudden we've got this feeling like he is to be pitied because he got stuck with an asinine name like that. From whatever reason.
Grognak the Softbeard sounds like a dwarf you would meet at a truck stop at 1 a.m.
Offering you $10 for a ride.
$10 for a ride.
Yeah. A comfort dwarf.
And who knows? They might, you know? But, like, insults are part of the names. Like, Jeremy the Big-Nosed. People are making fun of his appearance with that kind of name.
No offense to Jeremy the Big-Nosed, the Mafia Don. Please don't kill Kazarkan today.
Greatest apologies. But these are things that a name tells about a person. Their descriptions of themselves, their size, their shape, their physiology in some way, or their personality. Rothnak, the kindest bloodless. How did he earn the title Kindest Bloodless?
I don't know. How did Grilla the Kind earn her name?
So we're basically along the lines of Sicilian gangster names. Oh, he's Vinny the Tall. Sonny the Black.
I know, that's where we're getting to now, you know? Hey, it's Jimmy the Weasel.
I have a friend in Rome named Biggest Dicketh.
Biggest Dicketh, yeah.
Do you find it a wizardable?
Actually, yeah, but naming conventions, yeah. I mean, insults are part of naming conventions. They kind of, for some strange reason, ride along with it almost in tandem. I mean, all of us have dealt with it at some point in our childhood. Somebody will make fun of us or make fun of our name. And in some cases, these create nicknames later on or become part of a nickname. But it's strange how, you know, Kazarkan's long diatribe about insults and weird-ass names is actually relevant.
Yeah.
You know, so it works.
Yeah. Yeah. Thinking ahead, this one.
I'll see you later, Peaches. That's right. He's Kazarkan the Peach Fuzz.
Not to backtrack there, but actually, it's really true. Like, even historically, the insults to name, like, historians aren't quite sure. I'm going off on the Vikings tonight, but, like, Ivar the Boneless, you know, they weren't sure why he was called it. And they think that may have been the irony of it becoming an infamous title for him is they think he may have been called that because he had, like, a physical disability.
Yeah.
Like, he had weak bones. And so, like, some people think maybe he had, like, you know, maybe breathing problems or, you know, stamina problems on the battlefield.
Yeah, I heard one was like a condition caused by a lack of specific nutrition elements during pregnancy, which led to like a gimp leg.
Yeah, exactly. But,
you know, he was just so flexible.
I mean, there's that option too. And then there's the, now we're taking it back to the insult. You call someone boneless, you're telling them they don't have a spine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's an accusation of cowardice.
Ivar the soy drinker.
Wow, that'd be really weird, though, is if you call the mechanic, you know, you run up and you're like, hey, what's up, Ivar the Nutless? Are you making a jab at, you know, his manhood or
his profession?
His profession.
¿Por qué no los dos?
¿Por qué no los dos?
I don't know. That's some of the fun stuff with names is, you know, there's so many different options. You could literally just pick like 30 different letters and just start putting them together. Like when we were trying to name a country when we were doing Kingmaker. Yeah, 2 weeks in a row we're talking about Kingmaker.
Yes.
We sat around the fire at our campsite for what, 2 hours?
It was something like that because you guys were arguing over the name because not enough syllables. Or no, not enough vowels.
Not enough vowels if we took the first letter of each of our first names and last names. And trying to make something really, I felt like it was just overthinking. In big words on the dungeon wall, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It very much was.
Plus, we were tired. It was like 3 in the morning. We had been gaming for almost 14 hours straight.
No, we started... We had a break early in the day, but still.
Yeah.
When it came up to you guys finally coming up with the name, it was like 2 hours you guys just
hickering
and dickering and arguing over semantics. And then it eventually came down to Volstagg.
Volenstag.
Volenstag.
Yeah. I just came out of my ass. I was so tired, and I was like, you know what? Volenstag. Then our people can be Volstags.
Blasphemous, you don't come out of your ass.
No, the name did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just, you know, leaned onto one side of the camp chair, concentrated really hard, and rolled the dice.
And it worked.
It did. It worked out quite nicely.
And it was a great way to end the damn conversation so we could all go to bed.
Yeah. Another thing is, like, a good name has a, like, a ring to it, somehow.
You mean like Davoth?
All right.
Which sounds like, kind of like Dagon? Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Demios?
Yeah, and what's weird is when I named Demios, that was also here I go, 2 weeks in a row, just totally steamrolling you, dude. I'll get the fucking jelly beans. But when I named Demios and his brother Phobos, that was off of the moons around Mars, of course. But when I first played that character, it was in a Spelljammer campaign.
Okay.
So we're playing in space. It's D&D in space. And they had the stupidest name for orcs back then. The Skrow. Yeah.
Tums?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said 20 some odd years ago. Tums? We're fighting the Skrow. Tums? But regardless, when we were in that, you know, I named the brothers, the main character that I was playing, Demios, and then I named his NPC brother, Phobos, after the moons, which in the lore of that character was the names that their parents had given them.
Can I take a quick side note here, just on unfortunate instances of naming? There was a video game released, I think it was a Wii U exclusive, so, you know, real classy. And the, I kid you not, the name of the big like villain syndicate or whatever was Sod. S-O-D.
Jesus. that's like
Sod.
You know, that's like Final Fantasy, you know, and I always bring them up. It is really difficult for me to take a villain whose name is Garland seriously. Because Garland is, yes, a legitimate name. It is also that shit we put around the tree at Christmas time.
Yeah.
It is also hard for me to take a name like Seymour as a legitimate villain name, because of Seymour. What the fuck is he going to do? Teach me how to play video games on CompuServe?
Sure, yeah.
Is he going to tell me, you know, how pocket protectors are, you know, only the thing, they're, you know, they don't have to be fashionable, they have to be functional. You know, Seymour! Oh, here comes the nerd.
You know? Yeah, I like Final Fantasy a lot, and don't get me wrong, I love Final Fantasy VII, but I hate it when they get to a little, you know, his name is Snow, or his name is Cloud Strife. It's like, fuck
all off. A lot of the main characters.
That's translation error, because it sounds a lot cooler in Japanese.
Kuraudo.
Yeah, whatever. A lot of their characters, though, are in the main line, and then, again, naming conventions, whatever. A lot of the names in the Final Fantasy characters, their primary character, the one you should be paying the most attention to, has a name based off of some terrestrial aspect, such as water, fire, earth, air. So they're following a pattern there, a legit pattern. They're like, this is the main character, this is why their name is Squall, because it's a storm, or Terra, because she's the earth. You know, so Cloudo doesn't really ding my bell too much, and
I would say with him, his last name makes more sense for his character, Strife, because that dude's got a fucked up past.
I don't know. I just kind of like to see a mashup for Cloud Strife, where it's Cloud with his giant-ass buster sword and a big silver helmet with a bunch of blades on it, and he's from the future. That's right. I just made a Marvel reference.
All
right. Yeah, well, Strife. Now, bam!
Now, these are actually really good examples. These are good examples of a name that doesn't quite ring.
Yeah.
Because you can always tell when a name or a set of names, like someone's full name, you know, let's say three, is Josh Don Pendleton. It doesn't quite have the same ring as Josh Pendleton does. And it's one of those, like, weirdnesses of language and the way it feels and sounds.
Well, it's kind of like, well, when you introduce somebody by first name, last name, it seems to roll off the tongue better if the first name and last name have the same number of syllables. You know, like Josh Burke. Bam. Easy breezy.
Peter Parker?
Yeah, Peter Parker. This is kind of weird, one of those weird, like, subtle things that the number of syllables in the first and last name, if they align, The name just rolled off the tongue easier.
That's like a bunch of the Marvel characters. Their first name and last name have the same initial, but it's all about that alliteration. You know, alliteration is really fun when you can work it into a name. Especially when it's like a dwarf that has five names, because it's his name, his family name, his clan name, their home name, and then something awesome in Dwarven.
You know what actually would be really complex for a name? Is if gnomes had, you know, because they have like the weirdest naming conventions in D&D. You make a gnome whose name is a haiku. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's not a bard.
Yeah, and you get 575. Okay, and then you just write down a haiku as to what their name is, like their full name and titles.
That would be a pretty neat character.
That would be actually pretty cool, though, in a way.
Yeah, being able to pull that off.
Hey, here's a question for everyone. What's your, just in anything you've seen or done, what's your favorite and least favorite names that you've come across? In any medium.
In any medium?
Yeah, any medium.
Like serious names or joke names?
Either or.
¿Por qué no los dos? One of each.
Wow.
Yeah, even if it's something you came up with yourself, you know.
This is kind of tough because I'd actually have to think about it. I really would. Because, damn, dude, I'm like ancient here. I've had a lot of names go through my buffers. My mezzan buffers.
Hey, we're circling back.
Hey, we are.
You know, there's a central character for the Night Angel trilogy by, I'll remember his name later, but the author is really, really good and well-deserved, is Kylar Blunt or something like that? Kylar Black? It's a novel about assassins and magic as well. But it was a nod to, within the language, Kylar is one who kills and one who is killed. It translates both ways. So it's a nod at the nature of the character and Blunt, because his social skills were aptly put. But it was one of the better characters that I've seen, both on, you know, development and in the way that the name becomes them.
All right.
I think as for another one, because I'm not entirely sure where I would go with the gag names that I've seen, I did a character that was supposed to be the sibling of another, so me and my sister set up a pair of characters that were siblings, and our names were reflective of that. One was Darkness Conquered, and one was Conquered Darkness. Mm-hmm. It was a play against each other, and one of those characters went quite a ways, and the other one didn't. But, you know, you can make these references with others, and it can deepen the breadth of the lore about them.
Wuldor Sockbat.
Oh, God.
That name makes absolutely no fucking sense whatsoever. The character makes no fucking sense whatsoever. I love it.
I was more dead than a racist walrus lost in the Detroit projects after dark.
I just love it. I don't know. Something about the name. It follows the syllable pattern.
Yeah.
Wuldor Sockbat. You know, so there's two and two. And it just makes, it's completely nonsensical and serious at the same time. I mean, if you just call him Wuldor, it's okay, because it, you know, sounds like Walter.
He was the only good part of that damn show.
I don't know, I kind of like the Disney princess, especially when they started putting sausage on pizza. That was some messed up stuff. But I don't know, it's not exactly a joke name, and it really doesn't follow my standard protocols of, you know, names should be serious, but Wuldor Sockbat, just, it's fun to say.
It is fun to say.
It's just fun to say. It's one of those names that just... Arr!
Xander Wifflebottom.
Yeah, it just rolls off the tongue, you know, so I like saying it. It's a fun name.
I got to meet Cree Summer a couple of years ago, first time I went to a Comic-Con. She was super cool. I've always liked Cree Summer.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'd also have to say one of the ones that actually gets me, for a serious name and a subtle nod,
yeah,
is Riku.
Riku?
From Final Fantasy X, of course. I'm going back to Final Fantasy. But if you count the 10 in Japanese, Riku sounds a lot like Ruku. Ruku is 10. So, I mean, did they do that as a subtle hint or a nod, or did they actually do it on purpose? You don't know.
Yeah.
But it's still fun to know that her name, you know, if you just change one letter, it says 10, which is the game that she was in, 10.
Riku. Yeah.
Yeah, Riku, Ruku, not much difference.
Well, Roku is 6. A Q is 10.
Wait. Which one? Ichi, ni, san, chi, hichi, hachi, juku, go, Ruku. I don't know, it's been a while. I'm trying to count the 10 in Japanese here, it's been a while.
let's see. Ichi, ni, san, chi, go, roku, shichi, hachi, ku, or ku,
juku.
Yeah.
Oh shit, I got them all mixed up. don't know. I just like her name anyway. Screw it.
That's fine.
All right.
I'm sorry, but she was voiced by Tara Strong, and I love her.
Ah, who doesn't love Tara Strong?
I don't know.
She's great.
I don't know. All the people who don't want their jaws broken by me don't love her. Love that woman.
I do love Tara Strong. Just on a side note, my favorite voice actress, though, is Kari Wahlgren. She's great.
Yeah, there's a lot of characters out there. Like, one that I used to roll around in my mind a lot during when I was, like, addicted to Farscape was Chiana. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just because it's also a fun name to say. Mm-hmm. You know, you break it down and you can just alter it ever so slightly to be pronounced differently. You know, it could be Shiana or Sheena. You know, you can just roll the letters around and change it up. So it's kind of a malleable morphic name.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that. And it's easy to pronounce. Simple, straightforward, to the point. It's not overly embellished. It just, you say the name and you know exactly who you're thinking of. You know, it's not like trying to describe another fucking Michael.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well yeah, there's a name with a lot of variables to it.
Right.
No.
We haven't really heard yours, Blasphemous. Your least and favorite.
He's looking it up.
I had to double check some character names. So one of my favorite, like, legit names comes from Magic the Gathering, one of my favorite planeswalkers, Sarkon Vol.
Oh, yeah.
He's the dragon worshipping planeswalker, right?
Also known as Sarkon of Akkad.
But Sarkon Vol, I mean, it just sounds really good. And his other titles were Sarkon the Mad, Sarkon Dragon Speaker, you know, Sarkon Unbroken, which the card was really broken. But,
yeah, it was.
You know, just that first name, Sarkon. It sounds super.
Well, he's a Mongol and he just straight up has the name Khan.
Yeah.
So.
One does not simply challenge the Khan.
No.
Aha, old reference. Khan. The other one that gets me, though, and I just remembered, was Ramirez from The Highlander.
Yeah.
Like when he says his full, complete name, it sounds more like a waterfall. I was like, holy crap, that's your name, dude? Can we just shorten this up? But it still sounds cool in its totality. You know, just Ramirez. It's kind of a cool name. It's a strong, manly name, even if he is a Spaniard.
Yeah. Scottish guy playing Spaniard. Tell me about this, Scotland!
Hey, it's no worse than a Scottish guy playing a fucking king down in Greece.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we've been sharing a culture with you all morning.
I love how anytime people think of, like, oh, yes, these were ancient people. They all have English accents. I'm like, how does not compute?
Hey, how is it that they have all British accents in space?
Oh, don't get me started.
I find your lack of faith disturbing. Well, I find your lack of a normal accent disturbing.
Yeah. So, and when it comes to joke names.
Joke names, my bane.
I would honestly have to go with, you know, there's just so many.
Orville Mezenbuffer?
No.
Okay.
Not even on the list.
Damn!
Impressive name, though, it'd be.
It was a very impressive name. I've seen some good ones, too. Like Scary Corpse.
Okay, this one is going to be a little juvenile. So, who here has watched Paradise PD on Netflix?
Fuck you, Netflix! You can smell my farts!
So, they have a D&D episode, because it seems like every animated show has to have a prerequisite D&D episode, because they're popping up all over the goddamn place. Way to go, wizards.
I remember a time when saying that you like D&D would get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
Now it's everywhere.
So, they have their D&D episode, and, well, our sort of main character names his wizard Merkin the Mage. Sounds pretty cool, right? Until you know what a Merkin is. It's a pubic wig. So it's one of those where, like, it sounds cool, but it's really not.
It's nice. Really not.
You know, it's one of those things. I think it's really one of the better ones because someone totally took it legit serious and didn't look up the word. They just thought it sounded cool. Yeah. That's what makes it so much funnier.
Yeah, okay. So we're at the point of final thoughts now.
Yeah. Okay.
We should let our audience go listen to other things that are more fun.
Real quick, cringiest name, and multiple people that have been using it. And it's not a slight against anyone who uses it, but I'm really tired of people who are like, oh, I have like all the demonic stuff, or I worship demons, and they name themselves Lucifer Morningstar.
Oh, yeah, the old play on let's take a name and just screw around with it. Or Beezles.
Yeah.
Lucifers, Beezles, Astaroths. One of my favorites for females, though, Lucretia.
Oh, yeah.
Or Anastasia. But for some reason, they say it's Anastasia, which is just weird. I'm sorry. I've known enough Russians and heard them say it enough times. I've just gravitated over towards how they say it. And like when I'm hanging around with Russians or anybody from the Slavic areas, you know, it's Anastasia. And over here, it's Anastasia, but I just gravitate towards the way they talk. So
yeah. Ebony, Darkness, Dementia, Raven Way.
Yeah.
I'm going to play a bard, and his name is going to be Rasputin.
Rah, rah, Rasputin, lover of the Russian queen. This podcast is finally done.
Pizzagate is real.
Blunt Force Gamers.
You are whatever muddies the white.
I'm killing Steve Shives.
I am so blue ball on fucking EA right now.
It means hold on, fuck.
Durr.
Pay me rent, bitch.
Hey, I paid for a 2-liter, you fucker.
Three. Two. One. Ready.
Hello. Feeling tired at the gaming table? Unsure if your game needs inspiration? Want to hear foul-mouthed jackasses poke fun at gaming companies when they screw up? Want an honest, street-level opinion from a team of gamers that call it like it is? Then Blunt Force Gamers may be the podcast for you. Now there's a podcast untamed by political correctness that may bring your game some added invigoration, whether it is video gaming, tabletop gaming, or card gaming. Each episode may contain unusual amounts of truth, logic, opinions based on personal experiences, half-assed insights, and random bullshit. The BFG podcast is not recommended for children under 18, nor for children over 18, and is not suitable for those who are nursing, pregnant, recently pregnant, or for those who can get others pregnant. Each episode may also contain crude and or puerile humor of a racist, sexist, nihilist, ableist, jingoist, ageist, or fatalist commentary. Warning! Excessive listening to the podcast may cause the following conditions: tremors, sweating, facial twitching, premature ejaculation, pustulant tumors, nausea, headaches, dizziness, swelling in the left kneecap, lucid dreaming, daydreaming, night terrors, involuntary convulsions, a condition known as sausage fingers, spontaneous rectal combustion, autoerotic asphyxiation, an unusual desire to befriend parasitic space monsters, Bigfoot sightings, and uncontrollable facepalming. Lactation is known to occur in both men and women. Do not listen to BFG if you suffer from any of the following conditions: social justice whining, passive aggressive hippie syndrome, high speed battles with a Nexus 6, table flipping rage quitting, or diagnosed as having no sense of humor. Ask your doctor if asking your doctor is right for you.